warning is truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob in Your Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, but today I'm in my role of spokesperson for Colorado Right to Life. So many times there will be a student in continuing education, a doctor, a nurse, whoever, and needs to interview someone with a 501c3, a nonprofit advocacy group. And so Colorado Right to Life gets a lot of those calls. We do a lot of those interviews, and typically it's, you know, it's fine, but it's just two people who hear it. So we thought when we got the latest call from a student at Regis College, this is someone who's been working in the ICU for many years, got his nursing degree back in the 1980s, has worked at Porter Hospital, is in administration now, and he had to interview someone from Colorado Right to Life. And so we thought, well, Todd Pedretti, Todd, would you want to do the interview on the radio? That way a lot of people could hear and it'll be more interesting. And so I thought, my wife Cheryl and I came from a large family. Todd and his wife have 48 nieces and nephews. Todd Pedretti, welcome to Bob and Your Life.
Thank you, Bob.
It's
Thank you.
So great to have you in studio. I've enjoyed getting to know you. And so I'm ready for the interview. Why don't you tell me and the audience, why are you interviewing Colorado Right to Life?
I will do that, Bob. So I'm in a Master's of Nursing Leadership program at Regis University. They have a program of where we have to give 20 hours of service learning opportunities. And in that service learning opportunities, we're going out and we're looking at advocacy groups or groups that advocate on behalf of others, such mm-hmm. as the Innocent Life and All yeah. Life from Colorado Right to Life.
Colorado Right to Life, right. That's our mission, the right to life of the innocent person. Mm-hmm. So you needed to do some research into such an advocacy group.
That's correct. So when I was Googling 503Cs.
Right, 501C3s.
501C3s, Colorado Right to Life came up, and it caught my interest, and I was very much mm-hmm. interested in what the organization has done in mm-hmm. the past. And I looked over your websites, and I reached out to Colorado Right to Life, and I sent an email, left a phone message, and she returned my message back, and lo and behold, that's how I've landed up with you.
Well, isn't that great? I'm so thrilled, and so I hope I'm ready up to the task.
Oh, you will be.
To be interviewed.
All right. So, Bob, just tell me a little bit about the history of the organization Colorado Right to Life.
Yeah. Before National Right to Life was organized, before Roe v. Wade, which was in 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court's opinion that states have to allow the killing of unborn children, back in 1970, Colorado Right to Life Incorporated, in fact, one of the three people who signed it, Mary Rita Erbisch, just passed away just a few weeks ago. She taught me how to be a pro-life activist. And that was, you never compromise on the principle of the God-given right to life. Never, not once. You never consent to the killing of a single innocent person. And so I learned that from Mary Rita Erbisch. The reason they formed, they had been meeting for some years before that, because Colorado in 1967, former Governor Dick Lamb was a state representative. He had introduced a bill, which became law, that decriminalized abortion in Colorado for rape, incest, life of the mother, health, and so on. You needed three doctors to approve the abortion. And one woman at that time, her name is Judy Shane Holtz, she gave us her medical records. We've scanned them. We have them online. They had to give reasons why you needed the abortion, and her husband was pressuring her to have an abortion. She did not want it. And one of the doctors interviewing her said, "What do you like to do with your free time?" And she said, "I love to go skiing." And she put in her report that Judy would not be able to go skiing like she'd like to if she has this baby. And so she advocated aborting Judy Shainholt's baby, and that baby was killed, and Judy was devastated. So back in 1970 is when Colorado Right to Life began, Todd, and since then it has been determined to fight on the principle of the God-given right to life of every innocent person.
Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
So what particular group or section of the population does organization focus on or advocate on behalf of?
Well, at-risk people, which includes Governor Dick Lamb at University of Denver Thursday night. He moderated a panel, and I had the opportunity to be one of the four panelists and was on physician-assisted suicide. And they said, only if it's adults, only if it's voluntary, only if you have a terminal illness. Well, I pointed out Denver's Children's Hospital, their ethics panel told the parents of four-year-old Dylan Walborn that it would be appropriate to stop feeding him, and they euthanized him. They starved him to death. The Denver Post did an eight-page article on the death of Dylan Walborn. It was physician-assisted, and they killed him. And that panel, the governor, the board member of the Hemlock Society, the professor at DU, the law professor, none of them would criticize Denver Children's Hospital for euthanizing. So this is not an adult. It's a four-year-old. It is not voluntary. It's non-voluntary euthanasia. And he didn't have a terminal illness. He was handicapped, a Down syndrome child, severely handicapped, but he wasn't dying. And so we advocate, Colorado Right to Life advocates for the at-risk, innocent person who others want to kill. So sometimes you advocate for people who are alcoholics and they don't know how to overcome their, their struggles. Well, all that's great. But Colorado Right to Life advocates for at-risk, the innocent child in the womb, even the newborn now, who increasingly, professor up at CU Boulder, the Journal of Medical Ethics, are advocating you should have the right to kill your newborn child who's even perfectly healthy. So we advocate for those who have no voice, for the elderly and the infirmed and the disabled who other people want to kill. That's who we advocate for.
Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome, Todd.
Can you just tell me a little bit about what some of your recent successes or failures have been?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I would say our biggest failures have been successes. We have, for the first time in the history of the pro-life movement, Colorado Right to Life in 2008 brought a statewide personhood initiative to the ballot. And it was Amendment 48, and we lost. We got trounced. We lost 3-1. Well, 2010, we got back on the ballot. And we narrowed the loss. We only got a few percentage points better, but it went to a 2-1 loss. So we narrowed the margin. And in 2010, we got so many signatures, about 100,000 signatures, but not enough to get on the ballot. So that was 2012. 2014, we're back on the ballot. We've now collected over 250,000 signatures in Colorado from volunteers. Now, some signatures were paid for, signature gatherers, petitioners, but over 250,000 from volunteers, which is historic, never before done. And we're back on the ballot for 2014 with the Brady Amendment. I'm curious, Todd, you're interviewing me, but have you heard of the Brady Amendment?
I have.
Well, it's making the news, NBC, Fox News, MSNBC, of course, the local media. And so we're back on the ballot with the latest personhood amendment. That Brady was killed by a drunk driver. He was 8.5 months along in the womb, and he was a person. And Planned Parenthood says he was not a person. So that's a dispute, right?
And I understand that there's 38 states that have similar laws to the Brady bill.
Well, similar, except they all indicate basically he's not a person.
Oh, they do.
Only Colorado's law would be a principled law. Huh. So the other states, they say you could charge the drunk driver or whatever criminal with homicide, but if the mother wants to kill the baby, it's perfectly legal. So Colorado would be the first state with a principled fetal homicide and personhood bill.
Hey, thanks for the clarification.
You're welcome. And as far as other victories, every time we have a conversation with someone in these campaigns, for example, we are getting people to think about where do rights come from. And if they come from the government, they're not rights, are they? Because they could just take them away. They have to come from our Creator at the moment that we are created. You work at a hospital, right? Our rights do not come from the delivery doctor at the hospital.
They sure don't.
That's not where they come from. So where do they come from? They don't come from the majority, because then the majority could take away the rights of the minority. They have to come from our Creator, and therefore at the moment of our creation. So every discussion is a victory, as far as we're showing people their responsibility to know what is true and to advocate for what is true and for the innocent.
Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome, Todd.
So how is Colorado Right to Life funded?
not well. we have accomplished so much with not a large budget. Unlike a lot of advocacy groups, only our office staff is salaried, meaning the president is not salaried, doesn't get paid. The vice president, none of the officers, none of the board members, none of the spokespeople. It's in our bylaws that this will be a labor of love. And yes, we pay our office manager, of course. You know, you're there all week and keeping the doors open and responding to correspondence and taking calls from legislators and the media and from you, Todd, right? Mm-hmm. So we need a staff, and the staff is paid, but we are able to accomplish so much on so little because of that. And it's not that it's wrong for other Right to Life groups to have salaried officers, except it's not wrong, but it hasn't been a model that's worked well for the pro-life movement, because since 1973 and before 1966 in Mississippi, they decriminalized killing the child of a rapist in 1966. The pro-life movement has brought in billions of dollars, literally with a B, billions. And there's not a single justice on the Supreme Court that has ever held that the baby has a right to life. Not one ever.
Wow.
So we think, with so many people retiring with full benefits from the pro-life movement, the model hasn't worked well. We need to be desperate to stop the killing of unborn children. So Colorado Right to Life is following American Right to Life in that model.
I see.
So funding comes mostly from individuals and occasionally grants from organizations. One of the biggest organizations, the Girard Health Foundation, that's given millions to pro-life groups, called Colorado Right to Life. This was when Leslie Hanks was vice president. She's now president of American Right to Life. And they offered a large grant. And when Girard Health calls, people answer the phone. And they give $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 grants to pro-life groups. But they said, we do have a requirement. You guys have been speaking publicly against a candidate. It happened to be a guy named Bob Schaefer. And we are giving money to his campaign. So we don't want to be fighting both sides of the same issue. Would you guys just back off? And we said, well, you guys should spend your money elsewhere, because he's supposed to be a Christian, a pro-lifer, a conservative. We will do everything we can to warn voters that he's a wolf in sheep's clothing, that he advocates killing unborn children. So we turned down that money, Todd. And they were, I got to say, their attorney was shocked. He said, we've never, ever had a pro-life group turn down money. But we said, no, we're not going to take your money unless you guys repent. So anyway, whether it's from individuals, some people give $50 a month automatically on a credit card. That's the most help, because then we could budget, you know. In ColoradoRightToLife.org, you just click on the donate heart, donate here, and it's as easy as could be. And some of it, you mentioned earlier, you searched for a 501c3. That's an IRS designation, means the donations are tax deductible. So Colorado Right to Life has both sides of the house: an education fund if people need the deduction, and then a more politically active 501c4 and a Colorado Issues Committee, and even a 527 group. So very politically active.
Hey, thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
So what are the biggest challenges to achieving their Colorado Right to Life's mission?
Wow. The opposition to God, the opposition to the God-given right to life. I said to Dick Lamb, former governor at DU, on Thursday night, I said, God said, do not kill the innocent. That's a verbatim quote from the Bible. You say, don't tell me what to do. So that's the rebellion. They want to be able to kill the innocent, whether it's a handicapped child, elderly, whether it's an unborn child, even increasingly if it's a newborn child. They want the right to kill them. And God said, do not kill the innocent. So the biggest obstacle is rebellion against Jesus Christ. And so when we find that even when a hardcore liberal, somebody who thinks there's no such thing as right and wrong, and you do whatever you want to do, and when they look to God and ask God to forgive them and they follow Christ, suddenly it's almost like magic. They become pro-life. So our opposition is people who are in rebellion against God, whether they're clergy or atheist. If they're in rebellion against God, they are the opposition.
So who are some of Colorado Right to Life's biggest allies?
Wow. Okay. It's not the Tea Party, but people who go to Tea Party events have been more pro-life and have signed tens of thousands of our signatures that we've turned in, over a third of a million, have come from Tea Party participants. But the Tea Party leaders tend to be against the personhood of the unborn child. So it's not from the Tea Party organizations. Churches, a percentage of churches are aggressively pro-abortion. So it's not from the United Methodist or the mainline denominations. But the evangelical Protestant churches, the Catholic churches, they are strongly pro-life. Not all their members, and not even all of their clergy. But by far, that is where we get the greatest percentage of people who say, I want to put my name, I want to be recognized, I want to do what I can to protect the innocent. So those are our allies. From a national perspective, American Right to Life, it's not National Right to Life. Some people think it's the same group. National Right to Life is against advocating for the right to life of the unborn child. They only advocate for restrictions on abortion. That's it.
Really?
National Right to Life, for 30 years since Reagan was elected, has been against advocating for the right to life, even against human life amendments and personhood amendments. So it's bizarre. But American Right to Life advocates for the right to life of the unborn child, like the name says.
Okay.
And 10 years ago, National Right to Life sued American Right to Life. And it's interesting. There was a change in leadership. But today they dropped that lawsuit because Colorado Right to Life was Right to Life before National Right to Life existed. So Colorado Right to Life came along as a big brother and said, you're going to sue American Right to Life? You're going to have to deal with us. Because we'll sue you guys for destroying the name and the integrity of even the concept of right to life. So it's sad when things have to be, you have to threaten legal action. Mm-hmm. But National Right to Life is not an ally. They're an opponent.
Really?
Sadly, yeah. Very political and big on fundraising.
And I know you said earlier in the interview, touched on some of the legislation that they've engaged with. Can you go into a little bit further depth about what they engage legislators in, and if so, how?
Yes. Well, we have had introduced at the Colorado Capitol over the last few years repeatedly a principled fetal homicide legislation. If a drunk driver kills the baby, it is a homicide. You can also charge him for killing the baby. Planned Parenthood and the Democratic Party currently in Colorado is against that. Even a lot of Republicans, sadly, who say they're pro-life are against that. They don't want the baby being recognized as a person. So we have had, like, Representative Joshi and others have introduced in the House and Senate our own Colorado Right to Life fetal homicide bill, which is principled. And by the way, it passed the House, didn't pass the Senate. Just yesterday, we're talking April 8th, 2014, Colorado Right to Life, our Vice President Susan Sutherland was testifying at the Capitol, another Democratic bill where they're trying to say that if the baby is killed, whether it's a drunk driver or whoever, if the baby is killed, it's not a crime. You can't charge with homicide. They did that last year, their bill 1194. And now this year, they're trying to say you also cannot file a civil lawsuit if the baby's killed. And even if it's total medical negligence, the bill, and just you can't file for the death of the baby. And so we have argued against that. And interestingly, both those bills are targeting the Brady Amendment, because the Brady Amendment says that the definition of a person includes the unborn child. And that's for the Colorado Criminal Code and for our Wrongful Death Act. Well, last year, the Democrats passed their law and going after the criminal code, saying you cannot have homicide charges filed if a fetus dies. And then this year, their law is targeting the Wrongful Death Act, which is a civil law. And they're saying you cannot sue for the death of your unborn child. So that's how we think how corrupt they are. They say they're pro-choice, right? If you're pro-choice and the woman says, this is my baby, as all pregnant women do, how many say, oh, I felt the fetus kick? You're in the medical. Have you ever heard?
No.
I felt the fetus kick.
I have not.
No, I felt the embryo kick. Felt the zygote. No, I felt the baby kick. Is it a boy or a girl? So at any rate, if they were really pro-choice, they'd say, well, that mom says it's her little girl who's 8.5 months in the womb. And how dare anyone say that that's not her little girl? That's just what, a big tumor? What, it has its own DNA and all that. So anyway, okay. So legislatively, we deal with principled fetal homicide bills and testifying against and lobbying against the pro-abortion extremist agenda that we have here in Colorado. And any abortion agenda is an extremist agenda.
Hey, thank you, Bob.
You're welcome. So, Todd, yeah, anything else?
No, those are my questions.
Okay, I have some questions for you. I hope that's okay.
It's fine.
Todd Pedretti, you got your degree back in the 80s. So could you tell me what you've done? And you've worked at Porter Hospital. So what do you do at the hospital?
So I started my nursing career in the intensive care unit. I took care of open heart surgeries, transplants. Actually, we had an OB department at Porter at one time, so we would take care of moms who would deliver baby, and then they would have the HELP syndrome, whatever, so they would bleed out. Mm. So they were hemorrhaging, so we would save them and give them blood and get them to the OR to take care of the bleeding. And in as recent as 2007, I stepped away from the ICU into a leadership position. I'm now an administrative coordinator or nursing supervisor, and I also manage the flow pool part-time, where I have about 40 nurses and CNAs.
Wow. So you've gone into administration.
I have.
Now, I know my background is computer software.
Okay.
I worked for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company on the Apache. I went to Microsoft for a while. And so we have these great engineers, and they're mm-hmm. so talented. And then they go into management, and they're totally worthless. And their great skill is now lost because all their experience and knowledge, and they're not engineering. Do you keep your hands in the actual medicine of the profession, or are you just an administrator?
Well, actually, that's why I like my role. As the nursing supervisor, admin coordinator, I am responsible to responding to every emergency. I go to the cardiac alerts when people are coming in with a heart attack to get them off to the cath lab. If they're coming in with a dissecting aneurysm, I'm calling in the OR, getting that all set up, booking the anesthesiologist, and getting them set up to get to the emergency or to the OR so that they can have their aneurysm fixed. So I feel blessed in that I get to still see where all the action is.
Yeah, I guess so. Now, sister hospital, Porter, is Avista in Louisville, and I was a patient there in January.
Okay.
I had such a tremendous experience there. I got 2 stents put in. But that's not an emergency. Your counterpart there would not have shown up in my case, would he?
Well, if you were coming in with chest pain and having a heart attack and you came into the ER and your EKG or your test was showing that you were having a heart attack, they would initiate a cardiac alert, which would activate the cath lab, and then they would come in, and you would go right off to the cath lab where they actually went in, shot dye around the arteries of the heart and seen where the blockages were. In your case, you had a couple blockages.
I had 80% in two places.
And they put in this little stent.
What do you call it, the left descending or something or other artery? There's three main arteries, I guess. And, and by the way, Dr. Wexler did a fabulous job. And at least I'm here on the radio. And he encouraged me. I lost 31 pounds since January. Low carb, and my blood work, triglycerides have fallen through the floor.
Awesome.
And then my LDL, whatever that means, that's gone way down too. So I'm just so thankful that when we need help, and often we need help because of our bad lifestyles. For me, it was out of control. Italian family. All that lasagna for 55 years. They put tomato sauce in the bottle that I got fed in the crib. And it just was, anyway.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful for your service, Todd, at Porter, for Avista being there, for all the people who are helped. But because we're Colorado Right to Life, we also recognize a challenge in the health industry. There are some hospitals that strongly stand up for the right to life of the innocent and are they follow the Hippocratic Oath, Hippocrates. First, do no harm. I will not procure a poison or an abortifacient for my patients. I'm not going to kill my patients. Well, there's a lot of hospitals today that disagree. They refuse to administer the Hippocratic Oath. They made up a new one, which doesn't mean anything. But there are hospitals where people are defending the right to life of the innocent. And so it's an honor that I get to sit here with you, that you've done so much for so many people all these years.
It's an honor for me to be here with you, with this help, with this homework assignment.
Well, you're very welcome. And so rather than you and I sitting at a coffee shop, we had maybe 8,000 people listening in.
Wow.
You know, like somebody sitting next to you and they're just sort of listening.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it's enjoyable, Todd. Thank you. I'll follow up with an email to you. I know that you needed some peer-reviewed papers establishing our case, recent papers. We've got those for you. So we'll get you all the information you need. Thank you, Todd Pedretti.
And thank you, Bob.
You're very welcome. This is Bob Enyart. KGOV.com is our website, KGOV.com. Our church, Denver Bible Church, Sunday mornings. Go to denverbiblechurch.org. We'd love to have you visit. May God bless you.